I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together, we're Rome and Oz. Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country. 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM.
All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, in this entire program is at Boggabri at the Drover Campfire.
Yes, I know, and it was a great place to visit, wasn't it?
First time we've been there. What a sensational event that was.
Oh perfect
my
weather.
Goodness, the weather was perfect. They had some fabulous country singers there. They had whip cracking and billy boiling competitions.
And delicious scones.
Oh, scones. It was fabulous. I can't believe. What an event.
Yep.
So we're going to kick off with Jeff Ether.
Right.
Now, Jeff is the man responsible for this event. He started this up back in 2006. So he's our first guest. And then straight after that,
we've got Sam Snape.
Now, Sam Snape is the local Boggabri idol because he was on Australian Idol.
Right, okay.
And he's got a brand new song out, which we're going to play straight after his discussion.
Oh,
and then after that, we chat to
David Clark.
And he's a volunteer there.
Yes, he brings the water around. He's the water carter.
He's the water carter, amongst other things.
Yes.
And what a fabulous idea. They've got great facilities out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the showers and the toilets. But if you want to use your own caravan, they'll top your tanks up for a gold coin donation.
Yep, wonderful
service.
What
a sensational service that is. And then we finish up with
Stephen Wicks.
Now, Stephen Wicks is from the Whipcrackers and Platters Association.
Right, okay.
And he tells us all about that. And, of course, his son, Daniel Wicks, he's on next week's program.
Right.
18 times Australian champion.
Wow.
At whip cracking.
Wow.
So we've
I did hear those whips cracking.
Yes, I know. I've got to tell you, when I was walking in that direction, I thought somebody was doing some target practice. Boy, don't those whips make a mighty bang.
Yes, they do.
Well, look, apart from these fabulous discussions, Lynn, we've also got this great selection of music.
As requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show.
G'day, people. Here we are. Phil C, this is Raymond Oz, and I'm at Boggabri at the Boggabri Drovers Campfire with Mr. Jeff Ether. How are you going today, Jeff?
I'm great, mate. Yeah, mate, lovely to see you.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with us today and welcome to the program. I understand you're the founder of this festival. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's Carton Cotton and all the caravans going north this time of year and I thought, why can't we pull them up? So I took the idea to the Lions Club and we ran with it. The first year in 2006, we had 27 caravans.
Okay.
And the biggest one we've had is 500 caravans.
Wow. So 500 caravans, was that, as it grew and grew and grew?
Yes.
We had a few years off with COVID. So
this was all before COVID.
All before COVID, of course, yes. So is this your first one back after COVID?
No, this is the second one.
The second one. So how did last year go then after COVID? Because you had a couple of years off.
Yeah, it went pretty well. We did have a storm in Saturday afternoon that we could have done without, but I think everybody had a great time and we've got a lot of return campers back again this year. So
how many are you expecting this year?
Around the 200 vans, I think.
200 vans. So what can people expect to see when they come here? What is the Drovers Campfire? What's it all about?
Well, it's a bit of everything, I suppose you'd say. We've got entertainment, we've got tours to the mines, and we've got food outlets, of course, and we've got old machinery display, and we've got the girls doing scones cooked on wood stoves. They just bring the stoves in for the couple of days. They're just lighting them up over there now, and beautiful scones. So.
And you got damper, I understand? You got damper?
Yeah, damper should be in. We unfortunately lost our damper cooker. He passed away a couple of years ago, but someone else is going to do it, so that's good.
And what about whip cracking? You got any whip cracking happening?
I think there's whip cracking. Yes, yeah. We've tried a lot of things over the years, and some things work, some things don't. Sometimes you can't get what you want back again. Either.
I understand. Yeah. Well, it's a big country, and there's a lot of places for people to go.
Yes.
But you do manage to get some really good acts. You got the Crosby Sisters going to be here this Saturday night.
Yes.
So, have you had the Crosby Sisters before?
No. No.
They are sensational.
Yeah.
They are fabulous.
Last year we had a magician. What was the bloke on Saturday night? Hypnotist.
Oh, right.
Well, did he put on a show.
You had a hypnotist here?
Yeah.
At a drover's campfire.
Yeah, and he travels all over Australia. He put on, we had a ball.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
We're hoping he was back again this year.
So you wanted him back this year, but unfortunately not available. But you got the Crosby Sisters, and they're very highly respected couple of sisters that are very highly respected in Tamworth. So there's going to be some great music this weekend. So tell us about your pricing structure, because you got camping on, you got your event. And this is a great camping area. You got powered sites, lots of green grass, lots of flat sites. For the benefit of our listeners, if they want to come, what's your pricing all about? You know that?
Well, we charge for the, it's a bit more for the powered sites, of course, and they're limited in number.
Absolutely.
But we've got unlimited, virtually unpowered sites, uh-huh. And I think more and more caravanners are leaning towards being self-contained.
Yes.
And we do run a water truck. So you can use as much water as you like and we'll refill your tank for
I
you.
I noticed
so.
That. Now, apart from that, though, you do have showers and toilets here.
There's the showers and toilets, and we were hoping this year to have two new buildings up and running, and they're both going to have showers and toilets in them. So we will have a good... The ground will be well set up.
That's fabulous, you know. But the thing that impressed me, and I've not seen it before, is the water truck. 90% of caravans now are self-contained. They do have their own shower and toilet. But you do have to be a bit frugal at festivals. But here, no, you can use as much water as you want. How does the water system work? Do they have to pay to be filled back up, or do they book in? Is it a donation?
$2 donation.
$2 donation, and they'll fill you back up.
Yeah, and we give it to something, some charity from here. Yeah.
You pick a different charity each year?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you go. That is absolutely sensational. But $2 to fill up your water tank.
Yeah, well, we've got Lions helpers from Hawaii, all different clubs from over on the coast down to Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And, they come and help us. We wouldn't be able to run without the Lions helpers. And
yes.
It's just Lions is it's always been a very... I suppose family sort of. Once you're in Lions, you're in the Lions family. So,
yes.
And Lions run this because you need these days. Lions have got good insurance and
okay,
yeah. So
and it's great for the town too of Boggabri.
Well, that was the idea, was to bring money into town, and we were lucky enough to promote it. We had a lady that grew up in Boggabri was. In that we're part of Narrabri Shire. She was the tourist officer. She promoted in the early days, and then the next lady come along. She was great too. Used to promote it to all the shows. And from about 2010 through to 16, we won all sorts of awards all over New South Wales, and we went as far as Melbourne for an Australian. Well, I don't think we won down there. We got a runner-up or something, but.
So Drover's Campfire, was that your idea to call it that? Or
no, it came out of the original one of the 27 that were here, and I just really can't remember just how it came about.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was probably to have some drovers ride up, and we did on a couple of occasions, ride up on horses and do the thunderbolt thing and
yes.
sort of thing, but yeah, I just can't... Can't remember really how it come about.
Okay. Mm. Okay. All right, mate. Well, look, have you got any idea for next year? Are you already planning ahead for next year what you might have, or what artists you might have, or the hypnotist, get him back? Or
I'm stepping back, so we've got a quite a good younger
crew
that run the show, and I think we've got to hand over to them and let them do it. Because they understand the younger ones coming on better than we do, and
mm-hmm.
But this is a an older group, of course. That's what we've got to cater for.
Yes.
And, but, yeah, tomorrow we'll have a heap of stalls here. And then on Sunday, which is probably a bit unique, we have a church service here. We always have it.
Yes.
So, we get quite a good attendance for that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. So it started in 2006 with the, obviously, COVID. That kind of put a few years off, but we're still going now. Without that, you would have been going bigger and better. Well, you're back to your 200, so you got at least 200 vans here, which is great.
And, we need to probably get our advertising tidied up a bit earlier, and because the advertising has changed somewhat. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the medium that we use for advertising now is totally different to what it was years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not very much face-to-face anymore.
No, I get that. Well, we're going to do our best to promote this one and also next year, my friend.
Thank you very much.
I think it's a great event. I love it. I love the place. The grass is green. The sights are level. You've got some fabulous stuff coming up over the next couple of days.
We're a bit lucky that we've got green grass because it was getting fairly dry. And then a week ago it was water.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was going to be a problem. First few vans came in, had a few problems. But we have had to drag vans in because it's been that wet. We've used tractors.
Yes.
And we knew the weather was going to fine up, and we said, once we get you on spot, you'll be able to drive out when it's time to go home, which they did. So, we've had all sorts of problems. And the other one I might just mention with the hypnotist last year, we've got the stage here, and because we had a bad storm in the afternoon, we moved the stage round in between the sheds there, and we ran with the hypnotist anyway on a Saturday night. And I was talking to a lady from Sydney the next morning, and she said, "We missed that. We didn't think anything had happened. Once the storm come, you'd just shut everything down."
Yes.
Stayed in the van drinking, having a wine. She said, "Oh, I couldn't believe we missed such a great night." I said, "Here, we don't. It's got to be pretty serious for us to cancel.
The show must go on."
Yeah.
And you managed to make it happen.
Yeah.
With some crook weather.
Yeah, we've got some good crews, and son-in-law and family. It's really a fairly, mostly family affair.
Family-orientated thing, yeah. Well, there's no sign of rain on the radar this weekend.
No, we're pretty right, I think, this week.
The skies are blue.
Yep.
And the temperature's nice. I think you're going to have a sensational weekend. I can't wait for it all to kick off.
It'll be great. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much, mate. I'm going to wind this up now. Can I play your favourite song? You got a favourite Australian artist you might let us play for you?
Yes, Ernie Constance, "When the Currawongs Come Down." And he recorded, Slim Dusty also recorded that.
Okay, but we're not going to play Slim's version.
No.
Ernie Constance.
Yep.
All right, mate. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
There you go, listeners. That is Jeff Ether. And we're at the Bogger Bright Drovers Campfire, and we'll be back with more of Roman Oz straight after Ernie Constance, "When the Currawongs Come Down."
When I was just a young man, I remember being told by a weather-beaten bushman, grizzled, grey and old. He was sitting on a bar stool on a sale day in the town. "Oh, it's time to get the rum out when the currawongs come down. When the currawongs come down from the mountains to the warmer valley country down below. When the currawongs come down from the timber, it's a sign of rough weather, rain or snow. Throughout the passing years, so often I have heard the plain and simple currawong referred to as a rainbird. I studied nature closely, and I have always found it's time to don your oilskins when the currawongs come down. When the currawongs come down from the mountains to the warmer valley country down below. When the currawongs come down from the timber, it's a sign of rough weather, rain or snow. know many indications, learned from bushmen I have met. Indications of the weather, dry or cold or wet. And sometimes they are right, you know, sometimes wrong I've found. But there's no two ways about it, when the Currawongs come down. When the Currawongs come down from the mountains to the warmer valley country down below. When the Currawongs come down from the timber, it's a sign of rough weather, rain or snow. Well, I live here in the snowies with their howling winter winds, where as soon as summer's over, the winter time begins. Where the artists love the beauty of the frost upon the ground, and it's time for winter fires when the Currawongs come down. When the Currawongs come down from the mountains to the warmer valley country down below. When the Currawongs come down from the timber, it's a sign of rough weather, rain or snow. It's a sign of rough weather, rain or snow.
Oh, g'day people, Phil C here. This is Corner Country and I'm at Bogga Bri at the Drover Campfire event and I'm chatting with Sam Tape. How you going, Sam?
Good, thanks, Phil. How are you?
Mate, sensational time. Fabulous day out here.
Beautiful day, yeah.
You were on the big stage last night, mate.
Yeah, had a bit of a go there last night. It was really good to see everyone hung around there and got behind it a bit. It was good, yeah.
So, this festival's been running a long time. How long have you been performing out here?
It was about sort of, what was it, probably 6 years ago was the first time I ever sort of got up and got the courage to actually sing in front of people. And yeah, Drover's Campfire was the very first place I actually did get up and sing in front of a crowd. And
right.
Sort of since then, it's just been, well, word of mouth from there on, it's just escalated and I've sort of playing a lot of weddings and pub gigs and whatnot. And yeah, so I've got to thank Drover's Campfire for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you said 6 years ago to get the courage to get up, but not so long ago you were on national television. I mean,
yeah.
3 million people or more saw you.
That's
how
right.
was that for you?
Yeah, no, that was unreal experience. I'm not really sure why I sort of just chose to do that. I just wanted to, just, I suppose, another step in trying to better myself. And I, just thought, oh, what the heck, I might as well have a go at it. And
yep.
Anyway, yeah, it was really, really good. So,
good experience?
Yeah, great experience.
So were you talked into that by anybody? Was it the wife or your
No, not really. It's just something or? I've always, well, pretty much, I suppose, I've always wanted to do it ever since I was a kid. But, I mean, I never had the confidence to sing in front of people when I was younger. But, yeah, since I got the confidence, I ended up just thinking to myself, well, why not just give it a go? What can hurt? Like, what can be the problem there? Like, anyway.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yeah.
It was a good experience.
That's right.
Okay,
yep.
So you're not Australia's idol, but you're Bogga Bri's idol, that's for sure.
Yeah, bloody A. Yeah. That's it.
So you would have had a lot of support from all your friends. When you wander down the street now, do they want to come up and get your autograph up with those?
Oh, I've had a few of them sort of joking around asking for an autograph and that, but yeah, that was one thing I never actually, when I chose to give it a go, the Australian Idol, I never actually thought about the support that would be behind it. And yeah, especially from Bogga Bri, like, it was great to see a lot of people really did get behind it. Mm-hmm. Did a little bit of time that I had a go at it, and yeah, it would have been amazing to see what could have happened. But I mean, it was, yeah, how it happened was still great. But yeah, it was really good. So,
well, there's always another time, mate. There's
that's right. That's it.
Time.
Yeah.
I mean, you're making new music now, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got some new songs coming out, which we'll talk about that in a sec.
Yeah.
And you've also got a single out now. We'll talk about that in a moment too. When did you first pick up a guitar? When did you first say to yourself, I wouldn't mind giving this country music a crack?
Pretty much how old I would have been, probably 4 or 5, I reckon. I would have got my first guitar there. Mum was always sort of supporting me. Mum and Dad always supported me to play a bit of music. And I just remember being a kid sort of strumming. I never really knew what I was doing. It wasn't until I think I was about year 5 or year 6, primary school there, I got lessons on the guitar for 3 years from Fuller and Gunnedah, and anyway, he ended up leaving, and I sort of just it just sat pretty stagnant there for a few years, and then I ended up thinking, no, I want to get back into this guitar. So I kept playing, and then, yeah, I'd only ever sing to myself in the bedroom or something or whatever, or just at home, like, yeah, no one sort of listening. And then it wasn't until, yeah, it was only, well, like I said, 6 years ago, I decided to start singing, and, yeah, anyway, it's just sort of gone from there, but...
And it's always been country music, or when you
pretty
first
much,
started
yeah.
out? Pretty
yeah. much, no, always been country it's music. Always country. I've always listened to country music. I'm a big fan of Garth Brooks. I remember listening to him when I was... Well, there's videos of me listening to him when I was in nappies sort of thing, so, yeah, he's just always been in your mind sort of thing, so... But no, it's always definitely country music, yeah.
So he'd be, what, your greatest, I guess, influence?
I reckon, yeah. I do love his songs, yeah. Him and Keith Urban's another really good one, Australian singer, so...
Yeah, Urban's,
yeah.
Urban's great.
Yeah, I've got a lot of time for him. I can listen to him all day, yeah.
So now you're writing your own songs. You've got a brand new song out now.
Yep.
What's it called? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about it.
So my very first single out now, it's My Country Song. It's just a song pretty much... I just wrote down a heap of things. Just wanted to write a song, and it was just pretty much everything that I really love. Just things that I love. It's just me. I hope that I can try and relate to a few people in my situation. I've got a beautiful wife. I've got the kids at home. I'm happy doing what I'm doing, working on the farm sort of thing. Get to play a bit of music. I love it when, and then yeah, like the main line of the song is I love it when the crowd sings along. So.
Yeah.
That's a real big thing for me. So, yeah, just put all that into a song, and that's my country song. So,
right.
Yeah.
So that's available on the platforms at the moment?
Yep, yeah, you can get it anywhere, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, or wherever you want to get your music from. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you got two more that you're working on.
That's right. Well, I've actually just recently finished recording these last two, so I've got them in my hot hand now. So I'm hoping, yeah, to release, I'm going to release one the end of... next month, if not very early June, and then I'd say the other one I'll release it later on in the year. But anyway, yeah, so I'm really excited for this next one. It's a cracker of a song.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. You got titles for them?
I do. So yeah, this next song I'm really, really, really keen on. It's going to be called Old Dog, Old Ute, Old Hat. So you've got to get around it. Yeah.
Old Ute, Old Hat.
That's it. That's
okay.
The song. So
right.
It's just got a cracking beat. I'm really keen to see what he might do. So
uh-huh.
Anyway.
And,
yeah.
And the next one?
And then the other one after that is going to be Good Things. So that was a song. I've actually had it written. It's been in my head for a long time since pretty much when I met my wife. So it's a song about how I met Kayla, my wife, and just sort of where we are today. So it's just... it's been written over a lot of years, that song, so mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of meaning. It's just a song I thought I had to do. It's a really meaningful song for me, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's three songs there, three singles. You're almost to an EP. Do you think you might release an EP or hang
on to
those and put it onto an album? Or?
Yeah, I'm only fairly new to all this, but I'm open to do anything. I'm keen to just keep producing music, and I want to just keep taking it further, so... to see where it might end up.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I missed your set last night, mate, unfortunately.
Nah, that's all right.
I got tied up. I heard you, but I didn't get to see you. So I'm glad I caught up with you today.
Well, good. No, thank you.
Fingers crossed you might do a little spot later, but there's no hope of it. We'll see.
Yeah,
see how we go with it.
Yep. See what happens up there on the stage. I think they've got a pretty good line up there today. There's a lot of good artists playing, so... Yeah.
Yes. Well, we got Rexy Baldwin later.
Yeah.
And then
Rexy's great.
2 o'clock, we got Caitlin.
Yep.
Yeah,
she's local. She's local.
She's a local girl.
So,
yeah. And then I guess the grand finale at 6:30 is the Crosby Sisters.
Yeah.
Have you seen those two?
I've never seen them.
Sensational, mate.
Yeah, right.
You're blown away by those girls. I've got to tell you. All right, mate. Well, thanks for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Phil. Glad
to
get to talk.
We're going to wind this up now, mate. Now, we're going to play your latest single. What's it called again?
My Country Song.
My Country Song.
That's it.
It's a great title for a great... You look like a cowboy. You got that country look about you.
That's it, yeah.
Bogger Bry's idol, folks, Sam Snape.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat, folks.
No worries. Cheers,
Phil. All right, my man. Here we go, listeners. We're going to be back with more country straight after Sam's new single.
My Country Song. Get around it.
So done, and we have a little fall in the yard with the family, and when my wheels hit the dirt and scrub after working away, look at me, baby. I love driving out the track, drinking out the back and watching while stars are falling. It's the first sipping beer and the laughter and the tears and the fire that burns so brightly. And when I play it, it better work, get with my hands. The music is loud and strong. I love it when the crowd sings along to my country song. Smell of rain on the dust on the plain, and knowing you love me, only the pride and the love that can't get enough, the feeling that all is family. It's the simple things in life that fire right by. If you're not quick enough, you miss them all. Like the sound of little feet on the hardwood calling out daddy's home. When I'm playing in a bed and working with my hands, the music is loud and strong.
G'day listeners, Phil C here from allaussieradio.com.au. The program's called Roman Oz and I am at Boggabri at the Drover Campfire event. And I'm speaking with David Clark and he's one of the volunteers here with the Lions Club. How are you going, David?
I'm well, Phil. How are you?
Mate, fabulous.
Yeah, it's a great sort of a day.
It is a fabulous day. The weather's perfect and for us, this is our first time coming out here.
Okay.
And it is absolutely brilliant. What a fabulous festival.
It is, yeah.
Mate, tell us a little bit about it. It started in 2006.
Yeah.
Have you been involved with it for that long?
Not since that long, but I've been volunteering here for 9 years.
Okay.
It's been a great organisation to be involved with, and I love the people of Boggabri, and I get plenty of work to do here as volunteering, so I really enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do as a volunteer? Because I know one of your duties. We'll get onto that in a moment. Do you do the water deliveries?
Yeah.
What other things do you do?
A bit of maintenance around the place. I'm a bit involved with the guys from the tractor shed in Boggabri, which is a great little organisation, and they've got about 7 tractors here on display, so I get to drive the tractors around the place as well for the display of the tractors, and I've been pulling a trailer and water cart around for a few days, but with the tractor, so it's pretty good with all that old vintage stuff. It's great. Yeah.
Now, the water. Tell us about the water, because this is the first time I've seen or heard of this at any of the festivals I've been to. How does this work?
Well, it's a great thing. We have an 800-litre water tank, and we deliver water for a gold coin donation, so people can use their own van for showers and the like, you know, so it's a pretty good service, and pretty enjoyable because we get to talk to lots of people and find out where they're from and how long they've been here and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty good fun.
So who came up with the idea? Because I've not seen this before.
No, probably in the early days, I think right from the word go, they sort of started doing water, so it's been pretty good, really.
I should point out, listeners, that they do have water. They do have showers here. You've got the shower blocks, and you've got the portable toilets.
Portable toilets,
So you've got them everywhere, listeners. You don't have to go with the water idea, but if you just want to use your own amenities, a gold coin donation for a however big your tank is.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's great. You don't have to walk to the stand in a queue.
Yeah.
I prefer to use my own. I think it's a great idea.
It's a great idea, all right. I like nothing better than having a shower last thing and then hopping straight into bed, so it saves walking for a couple hundred metres to do it. So
that's what I was going to say, especially if it's raining or it's a bit windy, a bit cold, and you think, oh, that shower's beautiful, but now I've got to get back to my caravan. We don't have to do that here.
No,
gold coin donation shower. Use all your water in one hit. As long as you get a gold coin every day, you can get water every day.
Yeah, sometimes we get a paper donation. That's pretty good. So, yeah, it's really good. But people are very good to help out in these sort of things, you know. So,
So where do the donations go? Is that for the Lions Club?
In the Lions Club, and to the Drovers Campfire fundraising. So, but initially it'll go into a Lions fund.
Okay. So is that where the some of the money goes toward paying the artists? Because you've got some big artists on. You've got the Crosby Sisters. They're going to be on.
No, the money that we get donated would go to a Lions Foundation.
Okay.
And the artists are being paid from the camp fees that people pay.
Oh, the camp fees, of course.
Yeah.
So the camp fees. You know much about the camping fees? How that works?
No, I don't, because I probably get subsidised because I'm a full-time volunteer. You know?
You're a full-time volunteer. Makes sense, because when you volunteer at these other events, I know Monday in Birdsville, for example, the big bashes.
You
volunteer for those and you get to go in and camp for free. So, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But even the camping is very reasonable.
It is.
It's not overly priced.
No, and they're good-sized sites, and I think there's about 70 powered sites here now, which is pretty fantastic.
Yes,
you know? But there's a few oldies that do these sort of things, and they need sleep app machines and the like. Most of us travelling today can get away with our solar systems and stuff like that to be without power for a week or 2 weeks or whatever, and we can do that. But then to have water is a major bonus if you're sort of free camping.
Exactly.
Because that's one of our big uses that we need. So
that's exactly it. Like, we're on the free camping area. Couldn't get a powered site. Left it too late. So, listeners, if you are interested in coming to Boggle Bri for the Drovers Campfire, you better make sure you book early if you want a powered site.
Because
a lot of people book for the following year, don't they?
Oh, they do, yeah.
They leave and book in. I'll see you next year.
The bag you get when you arrive, there's a registration form for next year in that bag, which is a good way to do it if you like the show.
Yep.
And it's pretty good here with all the facilities and the presence of all the people. It's a great spot to be.
It's a fabulous festival, and the weather's perfect for us for this weekend.
Yep.
The grass is green, the sites are big, and if you find yourself in this area at this time of year, I recommend that come out.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's on every year?
Every year, about this, for Anzac Day. Anzac Day was on Thursday, and so the festival's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so it's...
After the Anzac
Day. Yeah, after the Anzac
Day. Every year, Friday, Saturday, Sunday after Anzac Day. Easy dates.
Yeah.
Easy dates to remember
Okay. And we have a good march in Boggle Bri.
In Boggle Bri, yes.
Yeah, and I've been going to the dawn service at Barn Bar, and Barn Bar's only a little tiny place, 15 or 18 k's from Boggle Bri. And I reckon there was 300 people there two mornings ago for the dawn service. So that was pretty fantastic, really.
Well, we were out at the march at Boggle Bri the other day, and we filmed some of that footage, which is on our website. So if anybody wants to see what the rollout is for the Anzacs, check that one out.
Yeah.
Now, you also have a church service, don't you? Tell us about one. For anybody who's into the religious Sundays.
Church service here tomorrow morning. I don't get a chance. My wife will go to it, but I'll be running around doing water deliveries.
You'll be too busy.
I'll be doing something anyhow, so fixing something or doing water deliveries.
So you'll be saying your prayer on the water. Hoping the tractor doesn't break down.
I've got a ute now, so it's a bit more comfortable in the ute.
Fair enough.
I've had an old Nuffield I've been driving around in the days of no power steering, so it brings back memories as a young bloke with no power steering, so it's pretty good.
Fantastic. David, thank you so much for your time, mate. We're going to need to wind this right up.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
Dave Clark is his name, listeners. He's a volunteer with the Lions Club here at the Boggle Bri Drovers Campfire.
So I'm from Taree in New South Wales, and I've been a member of Lions for 44 years. It's a great organisation. It's great to be able to help out and do things. So thanks very much, Phil.
Mate, you wouldn't read about it. I didn't know you were from Taree. I'm from Harrington.
Are you really?
Practically neighbours, yeah. Although I'm really there. But yeah, I'm from Harrington.
Unreal.
And you're from Taree. We'll have to keep in touch, mate.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
Good on you.
Okay.
There you go, folks. Now, before we wind this one up, Dave's going to pick us a song. Who's your favourite artist?
Oh,
it's got to be Australian.
It's got to be Australian. So I can't go more Australian than Slim Dusty.
No, you can't. Favourite song by him?
Yeah. Lights on the Hill. As a young truck driver, still got his original old tape from when we had tapes, you know.
Cassette tape.
Cassette tape, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hang on to it, it'll be worse than money. They're not putting CDs in cars anymore. No. You might bring tape players back.
Yeah, for sure.
There you go, folks. That's Dave Clark. As I said, he's a volunteer here with the Lions Club. He comes from Taree. He's made his way all the way out to Bogger Bry for the Drover Campfire event. Mate, you're a champion. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Phil. Okay, thank you.
We'll be back with more of Raymond Oz listeners straight after Slim Dusty's Lights on the Hill.
Straight road and the engine is deep. I can't help thinking of a good night's sleep, and the long, long roads of my life are a-calling me. These rough old hands are a-glued to the wheel, my eyes full of sand from the way they feel, and the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. It's a long, tough haul from away down south. A man's gotta find a little bread for his mouth and a home for a girl as sweet as my honey can be. So it's down through the gears, she's a starting to pull. The gauge on the tank is a showing near full, and the lights coming over the hill are a blinding me. There's rain on the road, I can feel the load start a shifting in a dance. To see the posts, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh no. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill. See the post, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh, no. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me. In the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me.
Oh, g'day folks, welcome back. We are at the Bogger Bry Drovers Campfire. And my special guest on the program this afternoon is Stephen Wicks. How you going, Steve?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Really good.
Mate, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. You are involved with whip cracking.
Yeah, I've been involved now since my children were probably about six. So I think it's nearly 27 years now.
27 years.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And your son Daniel is an Australian world champion.
Yeah, our whole family are Australian champions, so yes. I've got two other daughters that are also Australian champion. My daughter holds the current Australian title in the ladies event, and I think she's about nine times Australian champ, and then Daniel's 18, and yeah, we've all come to love stock whips.
So where did it all start? Was it you or your father, or where did it all come around?
Yeah, I come from a horse industry, so we had stock whips right through, but we'd only ever do a straight crack. And well, I took Daniel when he was a six-year-old to the Tamworth Country Music Festival, and he saw a busker cracking whips, and as soon as he saw it, he just sat on the pavement, watched this busker for hours, and then we bought him a couple of whips, and history goes on.
So how old were you been then?
Daniel was a six-year-old, so I think I would have been probably 30-year-old, somewhere about there.
And up until then, you hadn't done any whip cracking yourself, other than just a standard crack?
Just a standard crack. Like, if you ever see a good whip cracker, you sort of, it just takes your eye and you just want to watch them.
You want to watch them, yeah. And how much skill is involved? Because the timing would have to be just impeccable, wouldn't it, really?
The easiest way to describe it is an average kid can swim in a swimming pool, but there's so many people that go to Olympic diving. And when you go to Olympic diving, you have to be the best in the world. So that's how whip cracking is. You have to train your body to do left and right hand cracks, and then wherever you want to place the whip, it must crack. If it doesn't crack, you don't get points for it.
Of course. And is it very strenuous? Is it physically demanding, or is it all just wrist action?
It's coordination. Yeah, if you get a good balanced pair of whips, so you're probably talking about $1,200 for a pair of balanced whips,
right?
Which is cheap.
Okay.
With that pair of whips, you if you haven't got them, you can't do the tricks.
Understand.
So you need something that's good.
You need proper stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Understand fully. Okay. So now that you see your son doing so well, and both your daughters, are you sort of competing yourself now, Steve?
Yeah, I compete in the over 45s.
Yep.
I do all right. I've won a few Australian titles in my day, and I enjoy it. It's something that, if you're going to do it with one family member, you might as well do it as a family, and that's what we do.
So where are these festivals? Because I understand you run competitions, national titles and all this type of stuff.
The association itself tries to hold state titles, so we hold them in Tasmania, New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria.
Right.
Our next competition coming up is in Boonah in Queensland. It's a qualifier for the Australian titles.
Yes.
So just so people know what they're getting themselves involved, we have state titles, and then if you qualify to state title, you go on to then the Australian title. Okay. It's going to be held this year at the Ecker in Brisbane.
Right.
So it's in about August, the 18th of August.
Okay.
And you will see the best in the world compete at the Ecker. Some of these kids are 1 year of age. We're going to have a child at one year of age.
Now, I heard about this. How does a one-year-old crack a whip? You think they would barely walk when they crack a whip.
Well, there's a little Henry Sozu from Tamworth, and he'll be our youngest competitor.
Okay.
We'll have Macy and Robbie Wicks. I think Macy's three, Robbie's two. They'll be competing. And then we've got Georgia Sozu and Katie Sozu. They're all going to compete in the under eight. So I think we've got about 10 entered for the under 8 years competition. So, our oldest competitor is Graham Jones from Sydney, and he's 68 years of age. So a 1 year old and a 68, and it should be a good competition.
And winning a competition, what does that mean for them? Do they get prizes, cash prizes, trophies?
Yeah, well, our sponsors have been RM Williams, and RM Williams has been our major sponsor for 29 years. Sarah, this is its 30th consecutive 30th title.
Right.
And then we've got Pack of Leather in Brisbane. Now, it's the richest whip cracking event in the world. It's worth $10,000.
Okay.
And those prizes get divided by all our competitors. They all get, all our winners get a shiny RM Williams buckle as well. And it's the prestige. Like, maybe to win a title, you might get $400, but it's the prestige of you're saying that you're number one in Australia.
Yeah. So at this level, competing for a championship, do you have to then have a more expensive whip again?
Those pairs of whips that Daniel's using, that he used today in our demonstration, are 20 years old.
Right.
So as long as, they're like a pair of RM Williams boots, as long as you look after them, you don't get them wet, you don't let them get out for the dog to rough them about in the backyard, they will last you.
Right.
forever.
And that's our quality of Australian kangaroo. It's the best. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's the strongest leather in the world for its density.
Okay.
So it's only about 1.5 mil thick, mm-hmm. but you can't break it.
Wow, okay.
Whereas a red-hide stock whip, it usually goes a bit brittle on the end and it'll probably snap at the fall. But kangaroo, as long as you look after it and put it away every night, we hang ours in straight. We don't roll them up. And like Daniel's whips are 20-year-old and they're just as good as the day you got them.
So I noticed you're selling whips over there. Do you make them as well?
I've been plaiting. Me and Daniel went to an R.M. Williams plaiting school in Queensland with Mr. R.M. himself,
right,
Reginald, and we did that when Daniel was a 9-year-old, so that would have been nearly close to 25 years ago. We thoroughly enjoyed it. We both learned how to plait whips. Daniel learned how to plait a whip as a 9-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and we've got better and better all the time, and it's just one of those great Australian traditions that I'll retire, I reckon, plaiting whips. I'll keep my mind active. And it's a great hobby. Like, I'd recommend it to anybody. It's a bit like a lady crocheting. Mm-hmm. Once you see a lady crocheting,
yep.
that's how I am plaiting a stock whip. I just enjoy it.
How long does it take you to make a whip from start to finish?
If I get a hide, a red hide, for example, I cut my whip out, I size it, I lace it up so it stretch it. Then I make the handle. It's probably going to take me about 3 hours to make a whip from start to finish. A good red hide stock whip costs about $200.
Yes.
And I reckon in 2.5 hours, I'm probably working what a tradesman works, about $30 an hour I'm on.
Okay.
Not a great deal of money, no. but it's still a good hobby.
So when you say the whips have got to be balanced, what do you do to make a whip balanced? Because a $200 whip, that's not a balanced whip?
You'll probably find you can buy a good quality stock whip. The problem with what we do, you need a $1,000 pair of whips because those whips have to be the same weight.
Yes.
You can't have one that's an ounce heavier
really?
Than
that,
the other.
That close?
You'll feel it in your hand because it actually jars your hand. Okay. I don't know if you noticed when Daniel was doing his demonstration, wherever he put that whip, it wanted to crack.
Yep.
That's a good quality balanced whip. Whereas a red hide whip, because they're a lot thicker where they bolt onto the fall, you'll find the whip jars you in the shoulder. So that you can get a very loud crack from a whip that's heavy, but you can't do tricks with it.
Yes.
And that's the difference between a good quality whip and just a Joe Blow whip. And I'd recommend a Joe Blow whip, which is about $200 to anybody, to get yourself started.
Mm-hmm.
If you really get passionate, get yourself two of them, but for $400 or $350 for a pair of whips is pretty good value.
Okay.
You can probably pick them up at just about any saddlery shop across Australia.
Yes, yes. But they wouldn't be ideally, though, for competition.
I think if you're going to do this as a sport,
yep.
you've really got to pay the money and buy a balanced pair of whips.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, and you told me you got listeners down in Tasmania.
Oh, we do.
Probably one of the best whip platters comes from Tasmania. His name is Simon Martin.
Okay, and where's he based?
He's at Devonport.
Okay.
So and he's got a beautiful shop. I went and saw his shop here 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want the best whips in the world, I would recommend Simon Martin.
Okay, in the world?
Yeah. Yeah, he sells whips right around the world.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, but you make sure you've got a big checkbook.
You've got to take a big checkbook. So what makes a whip like such a checkbook whip?
Just the way it's configured. If you have a look at a stock whip, it looks like a black snake.
Okay.
Where it comes off the handle, it sort of is sitting at about probably 14 millimetres.
Mm-hmm.
And that 14 millimetres will travel down the whip for about 3 foot. And then from that 3 foot mark, it'll taper off back to a point of about 6 mil or a quarter inch.
Yep.
And then you put the fall on the end, then the cracker. Now, those whips are Simon Martin's. It doesn't matter where you place them, they just crack.
Wow.
So you've just got to get the coordination and you've got a really good stock whip in. I personally know Simon and he doesn't make a bad whip. He makes a really good whip.
Fantastic. Well, that's good for all our Tasmanian listeners. So the Australian Whipcrackers and Platters Association is where you're from.
Yeah, it was established in 1991. It was all those members now have passed on. But Frank Scott, he was Queen's Canberra man, he said what we do is we need to get a national body going, because you could turn up to a country show and you could say this was an Australian title. So we had no national body.
Yes.
So what actually happened then, they said, well, why don't we have state titles? We'll get these state titles happening. And then if you qualify at a state title, let's go on to an Australian title. So we had a uniform shape, because there was a lot of people getting around the country saying, oh, I'm the Australian champion. I won at Bogger Bray Drover's Campfire.
Yes.
Well, what competition did you have? So we had to have a competition, and that's how our national body came.
Fantastic. Mate, we're going to have to wind this up.
Oh, mate, if you ever get a chance, but go and have a look at that shop in Tasmania. Yeah, Devonport, Simon yep. Martin Whips. He's got a collection of, I think, 300 whips in his collection. But go and have a look at the shop. It's just an eye-opener.
Well, we do travel to Tasmania a little bit, so next time we're over there, we're going to call in and see him. For sure.
You see him. He's a good bloke. Good Christian man.
Oh, fantastic. And I'll tell him Steve Wick sent me.
Lovely, yeah. Sure. All right, listeners, have a good day.
Now, before we let you go, Steve, we're going to play your song. You got a favourite Australian singer?
Oh, mate, Lee Kernaghan, Boys from the Bush. I think it's a really good song that just shows you the heart of Australia. And, yeah, Lee does a good job right across the country.
Fantastic. Well, there you go, folks. That's Steve Wicks, and he is from the Australian Whipcrackers and Platters Association here at Bogger Bray Drover Campfire. Thank you so much for your time.
No worries. See you, listeners.
We've been shearing sheep. We've been mustering stock. We've been culling out roots. We've been spraying the crops. We've been droving cattle up an old stock route. Now it's Saturday night, we pile in the ute. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. Well, the dog's in the back and the foot goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. From the bush come in from the scrub. Been out in the heat. We've been loading the trucks. Been fixing fences. We've been choking on dust. We curse the rain. We curse the drought. Now it's Saturday night and we're all in the shout. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. We get high when the sun goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush coming from the scrub. We're back in town. Well, we raise hell when the sun goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush come in from the scrub.
There you go, folks. That is Lee Kernaghan's The Boys from the Bush, and they're back in town. And there are a few of them out there at the Bogger Bray Drover Campfire event, I can tell you. Now, naturally, it was such a big event. we couldn't fit everybody in this program. So this is part one of the Bogger Braai Drover Campfire. Next week, we are going to have guests on the program. We're going to kick off with Daniel Wicks. We finished with his father, Stephen Wicks. Daniel Wicks is the Australian whip-cracking champion of 18 years. We're also going to have Richard Gillam, Max Meyer, and Rex Baldwin, which are a couple of the artists that performed out there on the day. So I'm going to play one more song just to wind this program up. And this is a fabulous song. It's one of my favourites, okay? And this is by Graham Connors. Now, fingers crossed, we're hoping to catch up with Graham Connors a little bit later on. And he is an Australian country singer. And what a sensational country singer he is as well. Many golden guitar accolades to his name. And he's going to be performing at St George. Now, he kicks off his Western Queensland tour on the 3rd of July in St George. So if you want to find out anything about that, why not just check him out? You'll find him on Facebook. If you Google Graham Connors tour dates, you're going to find all the information you need there as well. So as I said, folks, it's time for us to wind this program up, and I'm going to finish with one of my favourites by Graham Connors. It's a number called A Little Further North Each Year. Graham Connors.
Sun sinks behind me in the west. This is the time of day I love best. Salt breezes murmur through the coconut palm as the colors change to set a scene of tropic calm. Seagulls heading back to land over the mangroves and the salt pan, by a lazy creek with a six-pack and a fishing line, winning back some memories and losing track of time. I head a little further north each year, leave the cities behind, out of sight, out of mind. Whoa, when my troubles can all disappear, I head a little further north each year. Feeling the night wrap around me, my mind in serenity. Ocean waves are humming on the outer reef. These balmy nights and sultry days are a welcome relief. I head a little further north each year, leave the cities behind, out of sight. I head a little further north each year.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.